From the Reliquary of Job by Dan Gallagher. Bart Lloyd, Britain's only celebrity paleontologist, glanced across the veranda table of their room at Northwest Saudi Arabia's Hakal Hyatt Hotel. His tall, brown and muscular 40-year-old frame soaked his red polo, despite a dry breeze. He alternated glances between his cell phone, displaying 91 degrees, 16:14 hours, Friday, 2 August, 2035, and his slightly younger wife's long black hair blowing gently about the profile of her smooth black face, neck, and shoulder. Working a decade with Lloyd and the rest of Dr. Kevin Harrigan's team at the now-destroyed Fossil Gene Redemption Project in Iraq, Simone Kairaba had lost almost all of her Senegalese accent. She turned from gazing out at the glistening blue gulf of Aqaba to grin at Lloyd's stare.
What a world this region must have been when it was green and full of fantastic animals. To study gene samples, well, if we find the parchment was right, and work with the Harrigans back in the States, now that the therapy has them fit and young again. It's so exciting.
We might even get the whole team together again.
Lloyd replied, just as upbeat.
But it's Kevin who needs to conquer his fear of Mon's Middle East. America's got Mon hemmed in and on his best behavior. Kevin would get his mojo back and see it's perfectly safe.
Lloyd paused, nervously eyeing his cell phone.
8:15 Carolina time, love. Time to give a try.
Kairaba cocked her head and frowned. She set her Earl Grey tea upon her genetic scanner manual, spilling a drop that made a semicircular stain. She touched the back of Lloyd's weathered hand.
He's too macho not to come, Bart, but please don't ask him to come out here. He needs to stay with Tikva and their son. A year isn't enough to recover psychologically from dying or whatever they called it, nor the murder of a friend.
I'm his friend too. He needs to join us.
Lloyd said softly in his British accent, pulling off her hand and kissing her palm to allay his own irritation.
He needs to stop wallowing in superstition. It's just a tale of he didn't see heaven. What Dr. Middle-Age Crisis needs is to see what we're about to open up to the world.
Kairaba sighed as Lloyd activated contacts on his phone. Harrigan's thoughtful smile, ruddy Irish-American face, and graying auburn hair appeared on the screen.
Kevin!
Lloyd exclaimed.
The day I wrote you about is nigh, dear fellow. Tickets out here are in your email. Bring Tikva and young Ben, too.
Thanks, old friend, but you know I don't trust Mon. His officers tried to kill us all. He has too much influence outside Iraq, even in Saudi. Watch your back, Bart.
The embassy says it's safe as tea, old boy. He's got scant pull out here in old Araby, I'd wager. We've been out here since the debriefing, and no one's molested us yet. But Mon doesn't scare you, a former Army Ranger, eh, what?
Not scared, Bart, and daring me won't work.
I'll give you my theory, old bean. That dream before they revived you has you spooked. Get back on your horse, as it were. Besides, Simone needs your help with specimens we anticipate finding.
I've got my work here in Kerry. Besides, you don't know you'll find anything. Just because an uncertain translation from some pre-Nabataean parchment tells a tale of Job storing portions of sacrificial animal tissues, like relics, at an altar, might not be Job's anyway. A writer could have used Job's name as a chieftain to give credence to his tales.
The skins led us to the site, Kevin. And that was verified. Day after tomorrow, we open the chamber. Soon as the supports arrive on site. Come along. It'll be good for you and what ails you.
You mean you'll find Job's writings and prove that he never talked to God? There is a God, Bart. When I... Trust me on that.
Balmy. You and Smythe. All bitten by the religion bug. Crazy. Freund spooked you all.
There was silence for a moment.
Kevin, I'm sorry. I know you, Miss Freund. We all do. I didn't mean...
It's okay, Bart. You've got a good crew out there and equipment galore. I hope you find what you're looking for. And you and Simone are welcome to visit back here. I can get her clearance to use part of our lab.
Thanks. We'll do that. Just check your email and think about it, right? You'll do that?
I will. And Bart, you and Simone watch your back out there. Goodbye, hero.
Simone stepped around the table and bent over to kiss Lloyd's forehead.
You are so stubborn. Let's get an early supper. Beat the crowds at the Strand Cafe.
Around 6:30 the next morning, they set off in their jeep, dressed in khaki desert wear. As they reached the dig site 90 minutes east of Hakal, Lloyd noticed that cell and radio communications stopped operating. A text from Harrigan sent late the previous night, but appearing just before the blackout, elicited frowns. Get out. Israeli news feed. Iraqi Premier Mon pushing crackdowns on religious political parties and puppet states throughout the region, including Saudi.
Won't affect us, my dear,
Lloyd said as their jeep passed a guard at a chain-link gate.
Our permit is in order, and I doubt Mon has as much influence here as the dictator likely believes.
The entire day was productive and ordinary. Lord and Kairaba chattered instructions to the jeans-clad Saudi crews. Steadily, an archaic cave sandstone courtyard emerged at the foot of a huge rock hill they called a Jebel. Dust covered everyone, and sweat and dust paste had turned personnel into caricatures of ancient statues, but almost all had broad smiles as they ignored the late afternoon tea break. They had revealed reliefs depicting volcanic eruptions, a kneeling man reaching skyward, and fantastic animals carved into the blocks. By supper, they reached an inscribed header stone at the entry point of a carved-in corridor.
Bloody well preserved.
Simone almost sang as she and Lloyd giddily set up the camera and booted the translation program. Four men set up steel supports inside the doorway, reinforcing to enable deeper excavation. The sensor crew chief atop the rock formation above called them down.
It's almost a 30-foot long hallway. Ends in a 20 by 20-foot room. No adjoining chambers.
Lloyd and Kairaba peered wide-eyed at the sandstone header, now sprayed with specially dyed water, and back to the translation best fit to language model on the computer screen.
Let the innocent contemplate relic sacrifices to As Sun, who is the source of the river of life, who was dead and lives forever.
Job was a sun worshiper. That'll put the world on its ear,
exclaimed Lloyd, inadvertently slapping his own cheek with a water bottle that squirted water into his ear.
Very suave, but it translates to like the sun, dearest. Tomorrow we see the inside.
Lloyd and Kairaba found it difficult to fall asleep that night, wondering what the night shift they paid extra was revealing while they tried to sleep at the hotel. They were so excited they did not even mind the phone, cell, and radio communications continuing to be inoperable, nor the lack of explanation from the hotel staff. They overslept from exhaustion, but made it back to the dig site by 9. They found the hallway fully excavated, even a few feet into the chamber, but there were no carvings or artifacts discovered. In successive iterations of emplacing arched steel supports and removing debris, they reached a marble block and the far wall just after noon.
We're through!
Lloyd exclaimed into his radio to Kairaba, who was taking a break outside.
It's past 30 feet in, and there are... Oh, just come see!
The dust evacuator had pulled most of the dust from the air. More tripod electric lights were brought in. The pair hugged and giggled, almost in sync, as the dust evacuator slowly cleared the haze. A 4-foot-wide, stomach-high marble slab became visible at the far wall. Brown dust lined an inch-wide furrow all the way around its top edge. A heap of charcoal dust adorned its center. Now the far wall appeared as a collection of hundreds of 4-inch-wide cylindrical holes, vacuumed carefully just at the openings. Each held a tiny, canoe-shaped container with black material.
Sacrificial leftovers!
Cried Lloyd, his voice rising in steps.
This is an altar and sacra...
A worker finished dusting off a partially curled skin, thin like parchment, that hung in the center of the rear wall above the marble block. Lloyd set his computer on a folding table next to the altar and held his camera up to the skin. He sprayed a solution on the parchment and set the camera to emit ultraviolet, X-ray, micro, and radio waves and other scanning energies. Then his shaky fingers booted the translation program, setting it to compare and analyze the images.
Pain became nothing. For I was given to see the first ones abandon the tree of bread. They desired only the wine and pleasure of the tree of reason. Both trees were one inheritance rejected. Mystery of one tree on two sides of the pecan. Death of the planter redeemer became necessary. Yet he lives on to offer the fruits of both.
Lloyd stared, puzzled, at Kairaba. Then he spoke slowly, hesitantly.
Well, this already proves the Job account wrong, I think.
In Baghdad, military dictator Ismail Mon leaned menacingly into General Akkad's face.
If they find any more supposed evidence that Job lived, it will be twisted into the revivals of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. There will be challenges to my government and my socioeconomic reforms. We will lose control from Morocco to Indonesia. Make every artifact irretrievable, and make it look like an accident.
Akkad saluted and stepped quickly to his office. He picked up a landline phone and dialed his weapons research officer.
I want a 10-second release directed at these coordinates.
Bart, do you feel that vibration?
No. Wait, yes, it's increased...
Dust shook from the ceiling, and the electric lights and steel supports began to rattle. Lloyd thrust Kairaba back toward the entrance.
Get out, everyone!
He shouted, turning back and reaching for the parchment on the wall. He tripped on a power cable by the altar, toppling a light and landing on his back. As the light struck the floor, the bulb exploded in a flash. Lloyd saw the entire ceiling shatter into dust and shards directly above him.
My God, get him out!
Kairaba coughed frantically through the dust plume as she tripped into the sunlight. Guards and workmen ran to her and the other survivors, but they became rapidly wobbly as the earthquake worsened, then abated. All was still, save for sobbing, screams, and workmen jumping into power digger tractors. Helicopters of the Iraqi army thundered in from the northeast across the nearby border with Jordan. They landed inside the security fence, throwing sand like a storm. Troops and medics rushed out and began to direct everyone away from the dig site and into the airships. Kairaba was thrown over a soldier's back and tossed into a seat. In moments, the area was abandoned, save for a helicopter and four soldiers. Kairaba punched and kicked her rescuers, who began to interrogate her about what was found and the location of the parchment that had led her and Lloyd to begin the excavation. The dig site employees were whisked back to Hackle Airport, where all were offloaded and transferred to waiting Saudi ambulances, each with Iraqi guards. Lloyd snapped his head toward the bulb, which now seemed frozen in mid-explosion. A silvery white shimmer shot from it and expanded rapidly into an elderly human figure in a dazzling white tunic. The wrinkled face smiled at Lloyd and pointed upward at ceiling shards that hung motionless in the reflective dust suspended in the air. The figure took his hand, and Lloyd observed it immediately, shine and shrink, his arm and whole body likewise. He was being pulled back into the white-hot burst of the bulb. The whiteness gave way to clear blue sky above, craggy grounds on which he now stood. He gaped, incredulous, at the old man, who now released his hand and no longer shimmered with light. The tunic was red, with a tan fur collar like a stole. He smelled smoke and looked behind him to see a lit gas jet streaming from the crack in the rock. Turning back to look beyond the man before him, a silvery river split the forest below. Lloyd squinted to see clearly. Two giant silver-green trees could just barely be glimpsed on each side of the river.
Almost crushed there, my friend,
came the old man's wordless comment.
Come, there's something important to show you. You are sent, just as I was.
Lloyd touched his face, pulled at his pant legs, and released, peering slack-jawed at the man.
Sent? For what?
He stammered.
What happened? Who are...
In an instant, his vision zoomed like a telephoto lens to the base of the mountain. Just above the chest-high grass, at some 100 yards distant, he witnessed two hairy figures appearing to converse. One reached toward the tree to grasp what looked like a clump of red grapes.
We're all like that,
invaded the thought from the old man.
Fascinated by the world we were given, and essentially worshipping the creations in it, it seems so reasonable that our own judgment should rule. Yet, we abandon the food we need just to get drunk. Drunk on our own primacy. We forgot the beginning of wisdom and our lust for its fruits.
Are you?
I am the servant who presumed, who declared my innocence yet forgot my place. But God is kind, slow to anger, though we all mislabel him unjust. By his mercy, I saw fantastic creations, even a vision of the source of human sustenance and intellect.
Lloyd's jaw slowly gaped open.
You, all of this, just a dream. My brain's reaction to dying.
Dreams, my friend, are a mind sculpting with the clay that is the day's thoughts and memories. Am I, all this, just the natural way a mind dreams as it nears death? How do you recall depictions of me? Gray rags, perhaps, and sores? When did you ever imagine me thus, with my priestly robe and stole? And when did you dream the garden to look as you see it?
The man suddenly glowed brightly, as did Lloyd. Lloyd felt pulled backward and down into the flame behind him. Brilliant light filled his view, but gave way to a marshy scene. As he turned from the old man, he glimpsed only smoldering foliage of the salt marsh behind. Out of the corner of his eye, a broad strip of greenery seemed to move. He grasped what looked like a ragged strip of white leather with blotches of red to clear slime on it, wiped his eyes with a clean side, and shoved it in his side pocket. Clearing damp dust from his eyes, This time, with unbuttoned shirt cuffs, he looked again. He gasped and stumbled backward, landing on his seat in a puddle at the base of a mound strewn with yard-long, empty eggshells that sagged like soaked leather. They appeared shredded and bloodied by some vicious nest raider.
My God! What is that?
The gargantuan fish paddled awkwardly up out of the brine and onto the mushy ground about 70 yards away. The massive eel-like creature had scales covering its entire 50-foot-long body, even on its four gigantic flippers, eyelids, and stomach. It rocked from side to side as it lurched farther into the foliage. Suddenly, five silvery-blue dots, inset along its shark-like jaw and muscular shoulders, sparked and sounded like an electric transformer exploding. The foliage for several yards out from its mouth burst into flame. Then it buried its head into the charred muck, and a loud rush of swamp gas blew the bushes and spattered mud into the air. As it did so, its blue dots flashed again, igniting the released swamp gas and blowing a huge hole in the ground. It slithered its tail around and into the hole, sounded off several times like a freight train, and pushed out several 3-foot-long eggs that looked to be of the same whitish leather with which Lloyd had tried to wipe his eyes. The monster immediately shoved debris into the hole, and within a minute, covered it with a 5-foot-tall mound. Slowly it humped and wriggled through the marsh to the sea and disappeared below the waves.
Tell me, Bart Lloyd, when did you ever imagine Leviathan as she really was? What in your time might be described as a bony-plated electric eel lizard?
Lloyd whispered to his host.
Why have you brought...
Even God-fearing people thought my witness was a myth. My awe at the beast was but a fraction of the fear and humility I needed before the Creator, who calls the dead who doomed him to live in his love. You and your fellow researchers can work a worldly renewal, so I have shown you what you sought from my reliquary, but his own work requires your humility.
The flame burning on a twig beside Lloyd slowed its flicker to become perfectly still. The man shoved Lloyd gently to the right into it. Again, he saw himself shrink and merge into light as stealing shards and dust immediately fell upon him. Job's thoughts invaded a final time.
Bread and the wine of the tree that seem to be two plants yet are a single source of life and understanding. That is your strength. It is for your life, for what humankind is to become.
Lloyd felt crushing pain throughout his body and blacked out. Peering from shoulder-wide cracks of a twisted-looking sandstone jebel just outside the dig site's perimeter fence, Dr. Kevin Harrigan and two Israeli mercenaries raised their binoculars under the brims of their desert camouflage bungee hats. 400 yards down the crevice, behind and below them, waited a hired helicopter. As they whispered, they each began to nervously feel for their handguns, still holstered. 70 yards into the fence, Kairaba sat, nearly limp, tied to a chair at the rock-strewn entry point in the afternoon sun.
The Navy should deal with this, Dr. Harrigan,
whispered the mercenary.
We have to go.
That's an Iraqi copter and soldiers. You know what Mon stormtroopers will do to her.
The soldier looked at his fellow and slowly nodded.
We're in charge here, and you do what we tell you. Got it?
Fine. What about using the helicopter as a diversion? We can run in and disarm them.
I'm in charge here, civilian.
The mercenary soldier growled. He sighed.
Well, it looks like that's the only thing we can do anyway. David, cut a hole in the fence.
He drew his radio.
Adiel, bring the copter around from the south and throw incendiary at the Iraqi copter.
After a moment arguing, the pilot followed his orders. Shortly, the Iraqi pilot and four soldiers looked up to listen and then trained their rifles on the fast-approaching helicopter, but it was too late. They fell to the ground as their craft burst into flames. In seconds, Harrigan and the Israelis were upon them, firing and yelling for them to place their hands on their heads. The Israelis took their weapons and tied them each in turn to the fence. Harrigan untied Kairaba, who screamed for him to use the tractors to dig out Lloyd. She showed Harrigan how to help operate the drill and separator machines, and they dug furiously as the Israelis kept hounding them about Iraqi reinforcements, likely on the way. After an hour, the two reached the altar and frantically had two of the Israelis help them clear the rubble out by hand. They found Lloyd to its left-hand side, covered in sand and rock, dead. Kairaba collapsed on the body, sobbing.
I'm sorry.
Harrigan quavered, helping Kairaba to her feet.
Bart was my close first, Manny Freund, and the others at the FGR project, and now Bart. Simone, I can't spit.
The Israeli mercenary rushed in with a defibrillator and began to set it up while the other forced air into Lloyd.
Stop!
Kairaba screamed.
Have you no respect for the dead? He's been crushed for almost 2 hours. God, just let me be alone with him now.
The pair started to leave, heads hung low. Harrigan stopped them and whispered to Kairaba.
Simone, get some air now. Let these guys help you out. Get some water.
When they left, Harrigan looked up at the altar. He blessed himself and placed the electrodes on Lloyd. As he flipped the thumb switch, Lloyd's body arched upward, then fell, lifeless.
One more try, old friend. Then I can get you out into the light and home. But now, you're in the light I told you about, and home, I suppose.
Wet spots formed on the sandy floor below Harrigan's dusty face. He awaited the recharge and tried again. Again, Lloyd stiffened and fell back. Harrigan wiped his eyes, took a radio from his belt, and cleared his throat.
Can you guys bring in a litter or something?
He sighed flatly.
And help me get him out in dignity.
One of the Israelis appeared in the dusty air. He dragged a litter behind him and dropped it, clanging beside Lloyd, whose eyelashes flickered weakly at the noise. Harrigan grabbed Lloyd's face and laughed through tears as he barked at the Israelis.
Evacuate him, now! Don't drop him!
As they giddily reached the helicopter, Harrigan poked his face in.
Simone, we have someone you should talk to.
Harrigan coughed as he heaved the end of the litter at Kairaba's feet.
He must have had enough air for a while in there. Putting out way too much hot air now.
Right to,
whispered Lloyd weakly as the Israeli shoved a fluids line into his arm.
But what about the parchment we found in the tissue samples in the back wall?
Great idea,
called the pilot.
Let's have sandwiches out here. Then after lunch, we can dig out relics and wait for the Iraqis to arrive with refreshments for their tied-up buddies.
The chopper sped into the setting sun towards Eliyat, Israel, flying low over the ground. Lloyd squeezed Kairaba's and Harrigan's hands as he regained strength and ability to speak.
Don't suppose we'll ever get another chance at this place, given what you've had to do out here, Kevin? And love, I just wish I could have enabled your work by retrieving a few of those...
Lloyd released their hands and felt his wet, swamp-smelling trousers. His eyebrows raised in puzzlement. He reached into a side pocket and pulled out what appeared to be part of a leathery eggshell dampened with clear slime and blood splotches. His eyebrows popped still higher.
Put that in a baggie, Simone, and seal it airtight. I suspect that after you analyze it in Harrigan's lab, we'll find his tale was spot on.
And
thank you for listening to Those Stories.